Amen. Amen. Are you glad you came so far? You know, when I read the Bible, there's some people in there that I feel sorry for. I probably shouldn't. You have any people that you read about? And one of them was Pharaoh. I probably shouldn't feel sorry for him, but when the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, I'm like, man, it's not really his fault, is it? And another guy I feel sorry for is Job. I read, and I'm like, he didn't ask for that. He was just doing he was given sacrifice, and then Satan goes and presents himself before God, and God says, have you considered my servant Job? And they're just having a conversation, you know? And he says, yeah, you got a hedge around him. I've already scoped him out. But you take that hedge down, he'll curse you to your face. Well, go try it. And it's kind of like Job's just kind of in the middle of it. And then another guy I kind of feel sorry for is Judas. So y'all do too? Some of you, when you read this, you're like, but he was chose to be that. He was chose to play that part, right? All right, let's talk about it. First of all, when you figure out that Pharaoh was an evil man before God hardened his heart, you understand that people's choices bring consequences. And you do understand that God is holy. When you understand that Job had all of his confidence in his ability to perform, and that God stripped that away to show him who he was, you realize that what God did for Job was out of love. Judas, have you ever asked yourself this question? Let's read the scripture first. Luke 22 and 3, one verse for now. Luke 22 and 3. This is the part that maybe gets me sympathetic for Judas. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. You can go ahead and sit down. Then Satan entered into him. So is it really his fault? Could Judas really say, the devil made me do it? Was Judas an innocent, good fella that the devil took advantage of and entered into? Does the devil do that? Does the devil enter into innocent people? Does the devil take over people that are innocent? When you read the life of Judas, you'll find out that there were some things going on in his life before Satan entered into him. I truly believe that you have to open up a gateway for Satan to enter in. And that's a choice. That's a choice. Give yourself to witchcraft long enough, you're going to become possessed. Give yourself to evil long enough, you're going to become depressed. Give yourself to the lie of the enemy long enough, and you'll become oppressed. That's the way it works. When you yield, whoever you yield your members to, that's whose servant you are. So John 12 and 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Verse 4, then saith one of the disciples, who? Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. How do you like them tags on there? How do you like those? Simon's son, which should betray him. All right, he says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence given to the poor? Stop right there. Is that a good question? That's a good question, right? I mean, she put it on his feet, and they was going to smell good for a little while, but their feet, right? So after a little while, that ointment was going to go away. So to him, he's saying, man, this is a waste. We could have sold this and given it to the poor. Good question. The problem is, it's a front question. Yeah, this is smoke and mirrors. He's just putting this out there because watch, they know him. They know him. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Man. But because he was a thief, and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Said, why didn't we sell this and give this to the poor? Looks like it, in front of everybody, that looks right. Right? Here's the problem with Judas. He didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He had a relationship with money. Judas loved money. How do you know? Because he stole. He was a thief. He had the bag. They're going around with, he's the treasurer, and he's stealing money. That's incredible, right? Don't you think that's incredible that he could do that, walking around with Jesus? And I have an idea that Jesus probably knew he was skimming. Because I don't know. I figured Jesus' math skills were pretty good. So I think he knows what's going on, and he allows him to do this. And I think, man, this is so crazy. Until I read articles that you see posted all the time. Pastor sends his wife to a church, to a store, and spends $29,000 on clothes at one store for his wife. Sends his kids to Bermuda on a trip and calls it evangelism. When I start seeing that, I'm like, maybe Judas ain't that incredible. Maybe there's a lot. When you start reading what people can do, and God in his love doesn't cut them off instantly, but he allows them to keep living and keep doing. And I truly believe that the only reason he allows them to live is because there's more. Because he's trying to extend his grace to them. I believe the reason that Judas is doing all that, he could have stopped him from stealing, but he still let him do it. He let that go on because Judas didn't care. He was a thief. So Judas has these avenues that the enemy can move through. Judas has his heart open to the things that are not of God. Ephesians 2:1-3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now notice this verse. This is all kind of external things pushing on you. The course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. You see the leadership of Satan. And let me tell you something about Satan. He's very organized. He's got a whole system in place. And it's called the beast system. That's how awesome his system is. It's a beast. It's so intricate and it's so well managed because he hates you that bad. He spends that much time to bring you down. We're living in an age right now that Aaron, if you're not living by the word of God, you're being influenced by the beast. The only way you can combat the beast is through the word of God. How do I know how to live? The word of God. I don't want to get into all of that because one day I'm really planning on writing a little tiny book, and I'm going to hand it out to you, about what the beast really is, how the system really works together. But when we start, and we've talked about it before, but I got to mention it here. Shane, even in our food and water supply, there are things that we are taking in that make people feel different ways than they should feel. The only way to combat that is through the word of God. You say, I can't change the way I feel. The beast has got a system to make you feel a certain way. The only way to combat that is, it's not about what I feel. It's about what the word of God says. And I know what it says, so I don't care how I feel. I'm going to do what it says because I know in the end that the beast is destroyed and the word of God is forever settled. I don't care how I feel. I got to do what Jesus said. My answer to this world, Tracy, is the whole answer to the world is the word of God. The answer to these things that are pushing on me and trying to make me act a certain way or live a certain way. Oh, who cares what God's word said? I got to do my own thing. You better get rid of that because that's the beast pushing you to a life of misery. Can you say amen? You see it in Judas. You see it in Judas. My question was Judas just an innocent guy that was chose to play that part? Was Judas just an innocent guy? No, he wasn't innocent at all. The truth is, I don't care which one of the disciples he would have picked. They weren't innocent. None of us are innocent. None of us are innocent. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of us are better behaved than others, but we all come up short. So if he would have picked Matthew, he still didn't pick an innocent. He was a tax collector, right? If he picked Peter to betray him, was he picking an innocent guy? No, he's picking a loudmouth guy. No matter which one he picked, Judas wasn't innocent. We weren't innocent. But you watch this and you see the influence of the world and you see the influence of the prince of the power there. Watch this next verse, though. That's external. That's stuff that's pushing on us. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. Where's that at? Is that external? No, that's internal. That's on you. The lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Where's your mind? Internal. Where do your thoughts take place? Internal. So we got flesh on the inside and the devil on the outside. That's a battle. That's a battle. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Did you hear what he called us? Children of wrath. We were at war with God. We were enemies of God. Children of wrath. This is the lot. You see how the enemy can move in, make Judas the treasure, and watch what the enemy does. He begins to twist, and he's got this fake relationship up front. It's an external relationship. It looks good on the outside. He's with the 12. Can you imagine when Judas was sent out and cast out devils? He sent them out by twos. They came back. They're like, hey, the demons are subject to us. Judas is one of those. He walked with him and talked with him and seen the things that he'd done. The problem was it was never internal. It was always external. It was always on the outside because on the inside, he loved money. He loved it so much that he found a way to sell his relationship with Jesus and make money off of it. Think about that for a minute. He sold an external relationship with Jesus. Some people call this Holy Wednesday. Some people, I think, in the Western culture, we call it Good Wednesday. In other cultures, they call this Spy Wednesday. They call this Spy Wednesday because there's a spy in the camp. And his name was Judas. This is the day that Judas decides to do his betrayal. My next question was, and you got to ask yourself this question, did the devil know? Do you think the devil knew that if he killed Jesus, he was committing suicide himself? I mean, I understand that suicide happened to Judas. As she testified, I thought, man, that's the end, the devil's game, the end is your destruction. Whether it's instant or prolonged. He doesn't care as long as you come to destruction. Did the devil understand, Sam, that if I kill him, I understand the people didn't. The people didn't know because the Bible says if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified him. But did the devil know? I mean, he was son of the morning. He was in heaven when the plan was made, right? Surely he understood. He's a spiritual being. He could look throughout time and see the lamb. There's Bible that indicates he had a good idea. Where do you see that at? In the temptation of Jesus. Let's look at that real quick. Let's try Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. That's not in my notes, but I want to take you there because I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward, and of course he was. 40 days, 40 nights. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Watch what the enemy tempts him with. What did he tempt him with? Comfort, right? He tempted him with comfort. I know you're hungry. Make these stones bread. Don't be hungry. Watch this. Oh, next verse. He says, answering, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Next temptation. Then the devil taketh him into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Do this, you're going to be comforted. Next one. He saith unto them, as written, don't tempt the Lord your God. Here comes the next temptation. He takes him up again into exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He's shown him good stuff. He said to them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He said, you're going to get all of this. You're going to rule over all of this. Man, notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't ever mention Jesus suffering, and he sure don't ever mention him having any discomfort. Did you notice that? And you say, well, nobody's going to tempt somebody with discomfort. That's not what they're going to do. Well, it's interesting to me. Are y'all following me? When Peter decides and he rebukes Jesus, let me find that real quick. Let's go to Matthew 16:21. I want you to see this. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and what? Suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He starts telling them about his suffering. Watch this. You don't see this anywhere else. Next verse is, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Jesus is saying, I've got to suffer. Jesus is saying, I have to die. Jesus is saying, I've got to go through with this. Peter is saying, not so, Lord. He rebukes him and said, this is not so. No, we don't want you to suffer. We don't want you to die. Watch what Jesus says in return to Peter. He turning to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, who is talking here? You understand this is the voice of Satan talking through Peter. What's he saying? Don't suffer. Don't die. We hear it in the temptation. He's always offering him good stuff. So I'm looking at the enemy and I'm saying, I think he has an idea that if Jesus does die, it's really going to mess him up. I think he does have an idea, but watch what Jesus does. Jesus chooses Judas to betray him, and despite the devil's best efforts to keep Jesus alive, the plan is still marching forward. So imagine this. You hear the voice of Satan through Peter, don't suffer, don't die. You get that? Y'all with me? Everybody with me? Because that's so important. That's the enemy. That was the enemy. That was his plan. Don't suffer, don't die. But watch what happens when it comes time for God's plan to move forward. It was Satan that had to bow to the will of God and go into Judas. Do you see this? Can you imagine how he felt? I don't want to do this, but it's going to happen anyway, so I got to do it. And he enters into Judas, and he makes Judas betray Jesus. Let me tell you something about the enemy. I don't care how he wants it to turn out. It's going to turn out God's way if you put it in God's hand. I don't care how the enemy tries to rebuke it and push it back and stop it. There's no devil in hell that can stop there's more. When God gets ready to do more, the devil can't stop that. And as a matter of fact, he becomes a pawn in the plan of God to get the things done that God wants to get done. Oh, man. Do we understand that the devil is our enemy? He's not God's enemy. God uses him for his plan. Oh, man. So he said, all right, I'm good. I'm going to make it as bad as possible. All the disciples are going to betray him. Sorry, devil, that wasn't on you. That was prophesied. You know what? I'm going to pierce him in the side. Sorry, devil, that wasn't you. That was prophesied. You know what I'm going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll kill Judas. I'll kill Judas. Can you imagine being Judas, being that close to Jesus, but yet that far away? Can you imagine coming and sitting in a church for year after year after year after year after year and hearing about a relationship with Jesus that you don't have, when all you got to do is yield to that relationship and it changes your life forever? Could you imagine walking with him year after year, seeing all the things that he does and testifying to the glory? I saw it happen. I saw it happen. But there's still not a connection. Let me tell you what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to have a form and a fashion. He wants you to have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You look like a Christian. You talk like a Christian. You walk like a Christian. But deep down, there's not a relationship. Let me tell you, there's a God that wants to have a relationship with you, and he'll use the devil to get you there. If he has to. You don't want to go through that. You don't want to go through that. You don't want to go through the tears and the torment and all the things that the devil's going to do to you when you can avoid that by holding on to the hand of Jesus. You don't want to go through it. Judas was so overwhelmed for what he had done. He sold a fake relationship. Here's what blows my mind about the whole story. Is you don't think they could have found Jesus and figured out who he was? He was pretty popular. People knew who he was. But let me tell you something about Jesus. He didn't stand out. He came of no reputation. He came a little lower than the angels. He made himself of no reputation and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When they walked into the garden that day and Judas had to kiss him, they did not know which one he was. Oh, are you listening to me? What are you saying? I'm saying if Jesus worked like that, we got to work like that. There's not superstar Christians, but we're all servants of the Most High. But all inside of those servants, there is power, so much power. We talk about this, and I'm getting ready to close, but we talk about this. It wasn't long ago, Aaron, we talked. We said, man, something's going on in the church. And something's getting ready to happen. And I said, ma'am, what does that look like? What's the next level look like? What does the next level of Christianity look like to you? I said, because to each one of us, the next level with God looks differently. Amen? I said, the next level church to Dave looks like when the group sings, everybody's back there just flopping and falling out and running into each other. Dave would be like, that's it. We've made it. I said, to me, it's when I preach, y'all are getting it and you're taking it in, and somebody just like, whoa, glory, preach. And you run around church while I'm preaching. Next level right there. To each one of us, it's going to look a little different, right? That's why it's a personal relationship. Oh, what do you mean? Judas made choices. Job made choices. Pharaoh made choices. Guess what you get to do? You get to make choices. And those choices will determine what happens to you. You are made in the image of God. You got a choice. You got a choice. Am I going to worship? It's a choice. I don't like their song. Do you like the Jesus that they're singing about? Then worship him. I don't want to be married to a style of music. I'm married to Jesus. And if you talk about him, I'm going to find a way to worship him. I was at work the other day and I found a radio station. And man, you talking about some way back crazy Christian music. It was like, and so you remember the video I sent to the family where I'm in the loader and it's playing that music? I let Tracy listen to that. She said, it sounds kind of scary. Because, you know, it's that, ooh, you know, that thing where they do, you know, and then they, it's wild. But you know what's weird? And I got a confession to my family. There, as I listened to that, I found places where I could worship in that. I found places when they started talking about certain things that I could worship to it. Because, man, when you talk about Jesus, and I know who he is, and I know what he done, and I know where he brought me from, when I know that, man, you can talk about him a lot of different ways, and I'm on board with you. Tell me the story again. Tell me the story again. If you tell me in opera, just tell me about Jesus. If you tell me in soft rock, tell me about Jesus. If you tell me in Christian country, tell me about Jesus. I'm going to find a way to worship him because it's about Jesus. Oh, glory. Do we know him? Do we know him? Do we know him? Because you got a choice. You got a choice. And here's what I think is going to make hell hell. Is the fact that when you get there, you understand that you are there because of you. You can't blame it on anybody else. You can't blame it to the rudiments of this world. You can't blame it on the prince of the power of the air. You can't blame it on your church. You can't blame it on your family. You can't blame it on your spouse. You can't blame it on your kids. When you get to hell, you're going to understand you're there by your choices, and it's going to make hell so much worse. But oh, when you get to heaven, I just want to let you know, you are not the reason you got there. You can't blame that on yourself. When you get to heaven, oh, you got to say, I chose the right one, and he got me here. I'm not here by anything that I've done, but I'm here through Jesus. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I made it, not because of me. It ain't my fault. Oh, this ain't my fault. It's his fault, and I'm going to praise him. Ah, do we understand? I don't feel sorry for Judas. He made choices. I hope. I'll tell y'all Saturday what I hope. I hope that when Jesus went in there, does anybody know who Petra is? Man, I was listening to Petra today. Man, there is one part of a verse that I can hear it over and over. It's like that part of that song y'all sing. You know, the really good part. The one that we're all waiting on you to say because you pause and Ian keeps hitting the drums. We're like, just say it. Just say it. Just say it. Then Jesus, we're all like, yeah! I think you could sing that over and over and over, and it's still going to hit me the same way. It's going to hit me the same way. Yeah, Jesus got up. Jesus got up. And that song I was listening to today, he said, we defeated God's son, you said in jest, but then you got a visit from an unwelcome guest. And man, when I think about Jesus walking into hell, when I think about Jesus showing up in hell, he thought that he had him. But when Jesus walked in, can you understand the meeting between the devil and Jesus? Oh, you thought you had him. I can't help but hope that old Judas is in there in that place of holding and hears the gospel and do you understand the power? That takes, well, I can't, that's Saturday. That's, come on, musicians, come on.
How horrible was it? How bad was it to be Jesus? When the disciples started following afar off. Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever betrayed someone? Do you know how horrible that feels either way? Betrayal. When you feel like, man, these are my boys. And you look around and they're starting to distance themselves from you. Man, you know what happens with people sometimes? They distance themselves from you when you're suffering. I don't want to hang out with you right now. I mean, you're kind of depressing. I don't want to hang out with you right now. You're going through something right now. I'm going to find somebody more fun to hang out with. I don't want to hang out with you right now. You know why? Man, you're always going to tell me. Hang out with some people, it's all they want to talk about is what's wrong. Oh, come on, y'all don't know nobody like that? Well, I tell you, it's just bad. I got the measles, the mumps, the gastro rash, purple bumps, liver quivers, gliders, splatters. It's just awful. What goes? I got corns on my toes. Woe is me. Man, sometimes in your trial, when nobody else shows up, man, aren't you glad you got a Savior? I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. You got a choice. You got a choice. As they sing this song, I want to pray. I want to pray. If you need to pray, come pray. But man, listen to me. This world is going to give you a lot of options. Jesus gives you one. Him. But wait. There's so much more to that. So much more to that. So tonight, I'm glad you're here during Spy Wednesday. Judas made a mistake, and the guilt made him take his life. And you can read it on your own time, but when he hung himself, it is pretty gruesome what happened to him. It was a violent, violent jerk because he understood that he betrayed the very Son of God. And we look at Judas, but can we look at ourselves for a minute? Have you ever betrayed Jesus? You ever made a deal with God and you didn't come through with it? You ever did this? You ever do the old bait and switch with God? God, if you move for me, I'll stand up in front of the church and I'll testify and tell everybody. Then it comes time for you to do your end of the bargain and it's testimony night and you say, the Lord did something for me, thank you. The old bait and switch with God. You're like, man, I'm going to boast on you. And you're like, man, God's good to me. You know what? Right now, if you ever promise God anything, would you stand to your feet and worship him for what he did right now? Would you just go ahead and say, you know what, God, if I missed anything, if you've done something for me that I didn't thank you for, I want to thank you for it right now. Because, God, I'm not Judas. I know I've made mistakes. I know I've betrayed you from time to time, but God, I'm still living. Oh, would you thank him for everything he's done for you? What a Savior. What a King. Go ahead.